Today is Thursday. Of course, that means it's time for our Associated Bank Thought Leader segment. And joining us again in studio, we're back to square one, or back to peg one, is Breck Hansen. He's the vice chairman at Associated Bank. One of our thought leader discussions today is going to focus on just a bunch of different things. We've heard about how Donald Trump might hurt the economy, how he might help the economy, how he might help real estate, help manufacturing. We did a little bit of numbers crunching before our episode today, and we found that nearly $1 trillion was lost in world markets in the hours right after the election of Donald Trump. That's money that is trying to be earned back. There was a little bit of a rally after that. But, Breck, we thought we'd bring you in this morning and ask you what you think of all of this and whether we should be as worried or nervous as people say. What are you saying? What do you think?
There's no question that with the programs that Donald Trump had advertised that he'd put into place as president, if those programs, and people are assuming they will happen or may happen if they happen, there's no question that it's fueled the economy and fueled the stock market in the way it has. In particular, important to me, financial stocks, because of the comments he's made on regulation. And then, of course, as we look at energy and those kind of things, and military, we've seen military stocks, we've seen construction stocks, we've seen automobile stocks rise, and we've seen some of those green-related stocks take a hit.
Let's talk a little bit about a few of those. First, bank stocks have done okay over the last week or so since Election Day. Investors seem to like the fact that maybe some of these regulations will be dialed back. Give us a sense, in our audience, a sense, since you're right there with your ear to it, what that would mean for the banking industry with regulations dialed back.
Well, what's happened since Dodd-Frank was instituted was a regulation boom, let's say, that has affected the entire banking industry. And I think the layman probably doesn't understand, but that a lot of the, a lot of our own input has been taken out of, let's say, loan decisions, and that a lot of loan decisions have been made on metrics and not necessarily on what especially the small businessman has relied on, which is his or her character and his or her track record and ability to pay. I have a good friend who owns small commuter airlines, who has owned this airline for 7 or 8 years, never missed a payment, always been on time. And his bank loan is up for renewal, and because of the ratios that loan carries from a coverage standpoint that don't match what the regulations want it to be, and the capital that the bank would have to carry to renew this loan, he's been told to go find another place. Now, that being said, we talk about low interest rates today, but in a conversation with him earlier this week, he's secured by airplanes. He's got federal government leases on those airplanes. And through a factoring company, he's paying close to 28% on his money. Oh. And this is an individual that, as I said, has never missed a payment and personally guarantees and has a financial statement to support it. But because of the regulations, the bank just can't fit that loan into the right hole.
We were talking about some of the banking stocks that were a little bit higher, and some we were seeing may be higher because of a thought that there could be a little bit of deregulation. But couldn't that lead to higher fees for consumers?
Could. And I think it's a quick balance. You know, the point is that we've been restricted on fees because of some consumer laws, And I think that the deregulations will allow us to do that. But remember, we're still going to be in a competitive marketplace. And I would think that the ability to make loans again, the fact that the yield curve has steepened, which gives us a little more flexibility on the funding side, there'll be ways to make money again if regulation is lifted. And those fees may not be as big a factor as some people may want you to think.
Let's go through a couple of the things that are on top of people's minds right now. First of all, we hear a lot about inflation fears. When you hear that line, and I use it a lot, I'm afraid to say in my newscast, inflation fears seem to be driving some in the market. What does that mean?
Well, I think that inflation fears to the everyday consumer is probably higher interest rates and certainly a higher cost of living. Now, it's interesting when you hear Donald Trump because he's kind of talked both sides of this.
Yeah,
Trump's a real estate guy, and the real estate business is driven on borrowing money. And the lower those interest rates are, the better it is to build and create value when you're borrowing money. And Trump has said that. Now, the flip side of that, Trump has also said that he feels that the current administration has kept rates down artificially to fuel the stock market. And I think that as time goes on, I think that if we see interest rates increases, given Trump's straddle of that and what we've even read with the current administration, that it will be relatively small. I don't look at it taking off.
We're also seeing the European Central Bank and also the Federal Reserve, some in that body, suggesting that maybe this December interest rate hike is off the table or potentially under discussion again when everybody thought it was a done deal, and the European Central Bank maybe rediscussing some stimulus that had been planned.
Well, Steve, I comment on that in one way. We budgeted the last 4 or 5 years at the bank for a slight interest rate increase. And for the last 4 or 5 years at the bank and in most financial institutions that have budgeted that way, we've been wrong. So you say it's off the table and they've been talking about it. Very likely could be. As a banker, we probably could use a little bit of relief and a little bit, but we're talking 25, 50 basis points, you know, and that hardly affects home mortgages, much less other things.
I tend to put that more on Federal Reserve than Donald Trump. And their wishy-washiness, if you will.
Well, Trump has accused the Federal Reserve as taking political positions. I don't know if that's true. My guess is the Federal Reserve, depending on how he handles it, will probably stay the course and hopefully not take that political position.
You talked about Donald Trump being a real estate guy. He's talked a lot about infrastructure. There's no doubt in this country our infrastructure is failing, has been failing. But do we have the money to fix it, and where would that come from?
Well, first of all, let me tell you what I like. And there are a number of things, obviously, that we could sit and criticize behaviors of Donald Trump over the past. But my experience with real estate people is they can make decisions. They're not people, given the fact that they're project-oriented, that tend to kick the can down the road. So I think with Trump as the lead guy, you're going to see action rather than non-action. As a real estate guy and talk about infrastructure, remember that that's the one thing that the Dems or Hillary really were in favor of, too. Was to really go in and work on our roads, our bridges, our schools, our defense, what have you. Now, Trump's plan, the way I understand it, you know, and you asked, do we have the money, is to privatize a lot of this where we can, roads, bridges, et cetera, meaning that he'd provide tax credits, create jobs. I think he's talking in terms of $1 trillion over the next 10 years, which would be $100 million a year. That would start to build the infrastructure he's talking about. And with the tax credits, allow private industry to pay for a lot of that. That would create a myriad of jobs. I think he's talked about 25 million new jobs over the next 10 years, and certainly this infrastructure move will lead towards that. And offset a lot of the tax cuts, theoretically, and you know this is all theoretically, that have been talked about.
A lot of folks in business and in politics and even outside of those areas all say, let's give President-elect Trump the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what he's going to do, and then be worried when things don't go the way we want. Is that a pretty good way to proceed from here?
Well, I'm kind of hoping we don't worry, but I think it's clearly too early to tell. You know, you've heard the term good Trump, bad Trump, and you're kind of hoping that he becomes presidential. And, you know, less than a week into it, it has a relatively good feel to it, but I would hope this country would at least give him a chance. I mean, it's our choice at this point.
Good of you to be back with us. It's hard to believe a month has already gone by. Look forward to seeing you again in a month.
Thank you, sir.
Brick Hansen is the vice chairman of Associated Bank, our thought leader discussion for today. You can see and hear all of our thought leader conversations online at WGNRadio.com.